Hello, everybody. This is J.A. Dava. Welcome to Challenging Your Status Quo. Very, very excited about today because you know what? Every time we come on, we talk about five well-beings. Here at Challenging Your Status Quo, we want to make sure that we're not only trying to help you with your vocational, quote-unquote, professional side of you, but absolutely 100% want to make sure that we also help you start to focus on the other things that might be affecting your own success. And we specifically here at La Trea Coaching and Consulting, we specifically believe, anyways, that to be vocationally successful in a holistic way, there's really four other well-beings that we want to make sure you're balanced in. Okay, and that is your spiritual well-being, your relational well-being. How are you doing with your friends, your family? Is that balanced into your life? What about your physical well-being, right? That's another one that we absolutely want to make sure isn't keeping you from your ultimate success in the vocational world. And then number four, of course, is your vocational side of it. But here's probably my favorite of all the well-beings is the last one, which is the fifth one. It's called the philanthropical well-being. And people have asked me, Jay, what exactly is philanthropical well-being? I'm a firm believer that part of your success should be shared, okay? So when I say share, okay, I don't mean that we financially have to be giving everything out that we're getting. Sharing means similar to what I'm doing now. I mean, the guests that we're about to put bring on, and it's going to be sharing some information, even though really he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to share how to be vocationally successful in today's world because he's in the field, right? So it's like sharing secrets. But I truly believe this gentleman is not worried about sharing information because there's plenty to be had. And being philanthropical is being a blessing to others, okay? Everyone in this business, one way or the other, heck, the fact that you woke up this morning, you're already blessed to begin with. And so I have a great way to just end every conversation by saying, hey, be blessed and be a blessing. And I truly believe the philanthropical side of us shows up in different ways. It could be you teaching somebody else, you giving financially, you being able to just have an open arms, right? To be able to touch someone else. Philanthropical well-being. Give away the blessings you've been given. And so with that said, I know that La Trea, we're very realistic that it's not really about having a life balance and all those things, because you need to be able to switch. If you're balanced on one of these, you might have to switch and concentrate on that. Great example would be if you're vocationally set, man, I just had a great conversation with somebody who I 100% believe just loves everything about our industry, has done really well in 2023. And then as we went on, and I'm not disparaging anybody here, but as we went on, I started to realize that, you know, he physically is not doing well. So that's a great example because he's really worried. I think he believes he just had a heart attack. And so, he's feeling rotten and all those kind of things. And as we went down the path, vocationally, he was very successful, but physically, he's let himself go. And so 2024, he's got a different focus, right? Continue to be successful vocationally, but start bringing in the physical side of that. Guys, sometimes it's other well-beings that's keeping you from succeeding. So I'm going to stop talking, and I want to introduce our guest, because today, as we have done in the past, we talk about the well-beings, and we always align it with the vocational side of it. I believe this gentleman, his name is Brian Wise, could talk about different aspects of those well-beings, but today we're going to concentrate on what I have really just been partnering for a long time, but today it's going to be about the vocational help, okay? Professionally, vocationally, how can we come alongside you today? So I'm going to bring Brian Wise. Brian Wise, by the way, comes to us from Ultra Financial Group. But it's so much more than that. Brian, I've known for a long time. I've known him in different roles. We've worked together in the past, not in the same companies, but we've worked together in the past. But you know what's amazing is that after years of being apart, we were able to just kind of come together as if we've never really been apart in working with each other in the industry. So Brian is not only a great friend, he is a quintessential pro at this business, been in the business for a long time. I'm going to go ahead and add him on. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on here. This is fun.
Oh, man. You know what? The privilege is mine for sure. And we've had a lot of guests, Brian. But one of the things is what I love about what is going to happen today is the fact that we're going to talk about the industry. We're going to talk about the mortgage industry. But before we get started and dive into that, Brian, can you just tell me just a little bit more about you so that our guests know exactly who they're listening to and how long you've been in the business? You and I have been in the business for quite some time. So please take a couple of minutes here and introduce yourself if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So going way back, I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. I mean, it doesn't get any more Wisconsin than that, than growing up on a dairy farm. Like many of us, stumbled my way into the mortgage business after getting a biology degree and just sort of fumbled my way along until I accidentally fell into the mortgage business and then fell in love with it. Immediately fell in love with it. And here I am 25 years later. I've done a lot of things in the industry. And you and I were just talking that, you know, the downside to being the old guy is our bodies hurt a little bit. We're not as fast as we used to be. The upside is we've seen a lot of stuff. So you talk about giving back. That's one way I do give back every chance I get, whether it's just having conversations with people like you or whoever might be listening to this. Or I get a lot of random calls from people at this stage of my career saying, hey, I'm struggling with this. You know, what do you think? And I love to give back like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so total in the industry, Brian, how long have you actually been in the industry?
I really don't like to say the number. you realize I skipped the number on purpose as I went.
I didn't hear it. I'm like, all right, well, what's going on there? So here's the greatest part of it. And I'm going to say this because it's well-deserving. So I don't really care how long you've been in the business for, but you look so much younger than somebody who's been in the business for that long. So it's easy for me to ask that, right? Sometimes there's a sense of
right.
But you don't have to worry about that. So Brian, share that with us.
With the compliment, then I'll share. It's over 25 years.
Right.
Yeah, it's over 25 years. And, you know, most of the time on the vast majority of that time with large retail lenders, you and I met through, you know, a business partnership with one of the bigger banks that I worked for, the bigger independent mortgage companies. But yeah, 25 plus years.
Well, you know, you and I together on that one, right? And so we have seen a lot in those 25 years, Brian. You and I both know we've seen the gamut, right?
Yep.
We've seen the double digit figures all the way down to single digits. We had different sales managers, including Alan Greenspan, who just kind of opened his mouth and we all got rich, right? And so things just went so well forever and ever. Mm-hmm. And then the normalcy of life is starting to happen again. And that's exactly why we're here. Because Brian, one of the things that I reached out to you shortly after an article came out. I don't know if you remember that, but that is why today's conversation is really about success, right? It's success. In that you had mentioned in this article, and feel free to cite the article, but I saw it on LinkedIn. That's how I saw it, Brian. And I was really touched by the fact that I love that you were humble enough to be able to say, man, I can't believe I got published this way, blah, 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 blah. But here it is. Your success is not about luck. And I remember reading that. And as a coach, honestly, I hear too much where people say, well, I think my time has run out because my luck has run out of this business. And they're talking about the industry and where we are. So first of all, where did you submit that article? And then can you tell us a little bit of what you really meant when you said success is not about luck? And that's a loaded conversation we're about to have.
So yes, thank you for that. And a little known fact about me is I enjoy writing. I don't know why. I hated it in school. Maybe later in life, it's just something it's like therapy for me. I have an idea, I put a pen to paper and then start to type, but I just enjoy it. So I've been more recently doing LinkedIn articles just because it's sort of an easy format. If there is a good idea in there, then you know, my professional networks can see it and maybe they're helped by it. I don't know, but I started doing LinkedIn articles more recently. The article you're talking about is, I was just looking up the title because I couldn't even remember the title, but it's Elevate Your Success, Strategic Choices for Survival. And in the article, I talk about the idea of luck versus work ethic and discipline and creating a plan and accountability to create, therefore creating our own luck. I take a lot of what I experienced back to my childhood as a dairy farmer's son. And that's why I bring it up fairly frequently. But you know, think about that job. You know, to me, the mortgage industry is easy compared to relying on the weather, you know, needing to work 7 days a week, regardless of the weather. And in Wisconsin, it gets cold, right? So just the discipline and the daily habits that need to be created just to even sustain in that career, it's just something I've carried through to my adult life.
Yep. So work ethic, right?
Yes.
And I grew up in Minnesota, by the way. So,
you know what those winters are like.
You and I both. And I tell you what, some of the most brutal winters, right? In Wisconsin and Minnesota. And I still remember some of my farming friends, right? I mean, those guys were up at 5 a.m., right? Where most of us are wondering where we're going to plug in our hair dryers for get ready for school. A lot of these guys were putting on their galoshes. Listen to me. I'm really old at this point. Their galoshes and walking out there and freezing cold, that just to be able to start working before mm-hmm. they even really start their day. And so the work ethic comes in and creating your luck, which is really just another great way to say the title of this particular one. Your success is not about luck. It's creating your own luck. So it's not that you're saying there is no luck. There is. In our business, there is meeting the right person at the right time, being there at the right time, having it be the right rate and all of those kind of things, having the right realtor just happen to cross paths with you at the time he wrote a deal. You know, those kind of things, those are all luck, but it's all created, right? It's all created by you. So can I go there just for a second and just be able to ask you, let's talk about what are some of the secrets of creating your own luck?
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Please.
So to me, I almost like to replace the word luck with timing, right? Because if we're doing the activities and if we're adapting, it's just a matter of time. I believe the luck or the success is just a matter of time. And we kind of go through these peaks and valleys too around, hey, we're having a really good year. And let's just talk about the financial part of it, because you could apply this to every area of your life. But let's say you have a really good year, and in the mortgage industry, we have a really good year, then there's a really bad one. Does that mean you're unlucky? No, it's just a matter of timing. Right. And it's a matter of adapting to the climates of today. And it's a matter of adapting our own activities so that it works. We might try 12 different things and maybe 11 of them don't work. It's just a matter of the timing of getting to the 12th one that does create success, right? Yeah. So it's disciplines, habits, persistence, adaptability, and then timing.
Yes. And Brian, you know, timing for sure. Again, love that part of it. But the opportunity that rises, right, means that we've got to be working. It's like you keep going back to that Wisconsin analogy, right? You just got to keep working, right? You couldn't take a day off. There's no way you could take a day off working. So 7 days a week was something that you did. But and so now with that said, though, Brian, one of the biggest questions, and by the way, some of you guys, so as a managing director of a pretty impressive firm, by the way, out of Chicago. I know that you're out there, you're talking to just about just a ton of loan officers in all levels, coming from all sorts of different backgrounds, in hopes that, you know, hey, come work with us, right? Because of that, for many different reasons. But one of the biggest questions, so you're really a coach, you're like me, very much coaching these guys, especially after they come in, right? It's not just about recruiting them. It is absolutely about re-recruiting them. In other words, working in their lives to be able to retain them, right? And so you want to be able to do that. So you're a coach, and I see you coaching all the time, which I love. But one of the biggest questions I'm asked, Brian, is where should I spend my money, my energy, my time in generating more and more leads? People are looking for that silver bullet. Is there really a silver bullet out there?
I laugh because there's absolutely not a silver bullet. And believe me, I've looked for that silver bullet for 25 years. I mean, I still find myself, you know, looking for the magic bullet, the magic pill, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's just not. It's, I believe, consistent, persistent actions, and then opportunities will present themselves in the right time. There's the magic bullet, if there is one, is really work. It's work ethic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's work ethic, it's actions. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the things, you know, as you're talking to more and more people, what are you finding to be some of those actions that some people, again, trying to figure it all out, it's actually right underneath them, mm-hmm. right? It's right there. So if I had to ask you, give me three different actions that every loan officer should be doing on a daily basis to be able to build their business or to be successful in the business. Could you name them? Could you name three things that they should be doing?
Yeah. And I think it's different things for different people, but here's what I would do I'll go back a half a step. I think one of the best quotes I've heard recently was, if you want more business, talk to more people. Yes. And I think there's a lot of loan officers right now that are resting on their laurels of what worked in the past. If they had a list of 20 real estate agents that they worked with on a consistent basis, that list hasn't grown. If you're not constantly adding people, the list hasn't grown. And so your business drops just by natural progression, right? I think if you had 20 real estate agents to be successful in the past, you need 40. Now, how do you get to that? A lot of the things that I used to do still work today. And it was going to real estate agent events to meet more agents, right? Shaking hands. It was attending and or sponsoring open houses. And the third thing that I would really do today is webinars. I would do webinars. It's the most efficient way we can add value to any community. Pick topics that are important to the real estate agent community. Research, block a few hours on a Saturday morning. Research that topic. Write a seminar. Write a summary about it. And publish an invitation.
Yes. Yeah. You know what I love about that is that, and again, let's call it wisdom, right? I mean, I think that's what people use, that they use that word when people have been in the business for a long time, right? Because there truly is wisdom involved in that. But at the same time, you've kind of molded two different things together there. You're talking about, in essence, what you're talking about is networking. Mm-hmm. A dying art for many people, by the way. People sat in their offices. And, you know, COVID didn't help any because it really made an excuse for people to not be out there. But even before that, people were already just kind of starting to disappear and saying, you know, networking, it's not really that important. So they're still looking for the silver bullet. And then you're talking about working open houses again, right? And saying, wait, so hold on a second, Brian, are you telling me that I got to network with people? Are realtors still even worth it at this point?
Absolutely, they are. I think about a good producing real estate agent has. Oh, did you lose me?
Nope.
Right, I thought you were. Right. Yep, I mean, nope. a real estate agent talks to home buyers, and who's ultimately our client? A home buyer. Right. But I think that's just one part of it. I think in the past where we relied on real estate relationships and our database for business, I really believe that now we need to have 5 to 10 pillars of business so that we've got more lines in the water, especially in this climate. And in fact, I just wrote about that in, I don't know if I told you about my ebook yet. I wrote an ebook called The 22 Business Development Ideas for Loan Officers. And that's the whole premise is we used to need two pillars. Now we need 5 or 10.
Right.
And the book then lists 22 different ideas to help sort of get the creative juices going and help people decide what their other pillars are going to be.
Now that you brought it public, how do people find that? I mean, there's an awful lot of people. I mean, Brian, they're asking that of me all the time.
Right? Yes, yes.
All the time. So where would they find that? Now that you brought it forward, 22 different ideas. Guys, yep. I don't know about you guys, but I want that list. Right?
I'll send it to you. So
okay, the please do.
Yeah, I will. I'll send it to you when we finish here. But so it's the best way would be to send me a DM on Instagram or send me a DM on LinkedIn. I mean, that's the easiest way.
Awesome. And how do we find you on Instagram or LinkedIn?
So I've got my Instagram handle on here. Actually, I don't know if it shows up, but it's at brian.r.weiss.
Okay. At brian.r.weiss, right?
Yep.
So you guys see how he's spelling that name. So, but one way to look at that, and if honestly, if you just look at Brian Weiss in LinkedIn, you'll find him under Molitor Financial Group, Managing Director. A lot of people are asking that question, Brian.
Because they're
still that list. I bet you, if I asked you the top three things in your 10 pillars, what would that be? I'd be curious to know, what are your top three in your 10 pillars of growing your business like that? Can you name the top three?
Yeah, top three. So the top two would still be real estate agent networks, existing database. That's friends, family, past customers. If I'm just starting out today, I might not have past customers, but we've all got friends and family, right? So I'd start there. And then also in database is our dry cleaner, people we talk to at the gym, people we meet at the grocery store. Always be thinking about, how do I connect with someone and how do I add value to them? I mean, everybody in my mind, most people either have a home or need a home. So there's opportunities in possibly in everybody you talk to. You know, one of the things that Troy Molitor taught me, and I love this, is he says, never sit at a table in a restaurant. I said, well, the tables are more comfortable versus the bar, right? Tables are more comfortable. Like, we can talk to each other, look each other in the face. But he said, sitting at the bar, he's met so many great people. And whether it directly turns into business or not, it's always a great conversation with somebody interesting. So sit at the bar, talk to people. So that's how you build the database. The third one for me would be financial advisors. It just would. I think it's an area that a lot of people grossly overlook.
Yes.
You know, think about the clients that would come from a financial advisor. They're financially stable. They largely deeply respect their financial advisor and listen to advice. It's a great pillar.
Yeah. You know what, Brian? I want to really pull that together, what you just said, because everyone, please listen to this for a sec, all right? Because he just gave you guys a nugget. It's a golden nugget, all right? Because a lot of you are calling in asking us, where can I spend my money in technology? Where can I, is the AI thing really, should I use ChatGPT? Should I have a marketing team doing my work and all of those kind of things? And I want to bring together for you guys, this is somebody who's been in the industry for 25 years. He's talking to some of the most successful people in the industry, because he's part of it is that, of course, he wants to be able to recruit that for Molitor's sake, right? So let's just call it for what it is. But he's talking to a bunch of winners out there. I am as well. As I'm going through the different coaching programs, I have somebody who is a $200 million producer, and I want to bring it home to what you just said. Because it means everything. First of all, he gave you a great quote. Brian just said, if you want more business, talk to more people. Guys, remember that. Write it, seal it inside. Because then he gave you the three people to talk to. And you'll notice it none of it is social media. Not one of those is social media. Social media doesn't talk back at you, right? And so what he talked about is talk to more people. He said realtors, he said financial advisors, and I'm specifically leaving out the last one as the main point, because this is where the majority of some of the most successful people are getting their business right now, and that is called database.
Yep.
Guys, I had that $200 million producer had over 13,000 people in their database. And when I said, what's your tactic inside that database? And I will tell you right now, he says, I don't have one. And he doesn't even talk to his database. But guess what? His database calls him. But let's just really understand what that is. This is a $200 million producer. Do you think it could have been $400 million?
Absolutely. I was going to say it's double if you work that database appropriately.
100%.
Yeah.
And he's the first one to tell you that the number one place for him to get his business is his database. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, great. Give me a nugget. Give me something to tell people about what to do with your database. You got 13,000 people. Some people are just calling you. It's just happening, right? But guys, how many did he miss?
Yep.
Because he's not communicating. And that's what woke him up and just went, wow. And so he's got a whole strategy around that at this point. But
right.
But Brian just told everybody, Brian, you just said just absolutely something that most people aren't willing to go to. Mm-hmm. You want to grow your business? Honestly, yeah. It's called talk to more people. Go to your realtors. Go back to your database. And for that matter, yes, I think financial planners in today's world, especially, is critically important, right? And so it's because you talk about fostering realtor relationships. Ryan, I'm a realtor, you know that.
And yeah.
I have people that will even say it to me. Maybe they forget that I'm a realtor and they go, oh, I hate realtors, right? And I'm coaching them, for goodness sake. They're actually being coached by a realtor. They'll say that and they'll go, oh, I didn't mean any offense. And but again, when I ask you that, fostering realtor relationships, Brian, can I just go there for a second? Just ask you what some of the tips are that you would give somebody in being able to foster realtor relationships.
So the key in that phrase is relationship, right? People do business with people they know, like, and trust. I mean, that was a phrase, you know, when I began in the business, I won't say the number of years again, but when I began in the business, it's know, like, and trust. So building rapport with the right people is the number one thing, right? And that might mean you have to talk to 20 or 30 people to find that one. But it's a numbers game. Talk to 30, find one or two that you like, and then talk to another 30. Something I did back when I was originating full time, and it made me a President's Club level producer, was open houses and events. I went to open houses every weekend, Saturdays and Sundays. When I built my list to 100 real estate agents that I knew, liked, and knew me, I started doing monthly events, and then it was biweekly events. And that was all designed to fill the funnel and create relationships.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but open houses, you know, one of the things that I hear a lot, Ryan, when it comes to open houses, well, it's never the big guy that does the open houses. So is that really worth it? How do you even begin to combat that?
Yeah. So it's about the relationship. It doesn't matter who's there. It's about the relationship. And it might be an agent that's brand new, has never closed a deal, you know, is just hungry to try to meet people. Eventually some of those folks become producers, right? It's just taking the action and taking the opportunity.
Yeah. And
some of those opportunities, then guess what? Some of those opportunities actually pan out.
They do. And to take a good look at it, if you didn't do that, what opportunities are you really up against? There isn't any.
Isn't any. Yeah. You're not going to. There are no opportunities sitting at home watching TV. There's no opportunity, no upside.
Absolutely. And then can you share with us from your perspective, having been through it and talking to 40, 50 people just to be able to find that sweet spot of having the right relationships in place. Is there really, what is the ideal agent? Is there even one?
Honestly, I personally, I don't think there is one. It's first of all, it's going to be different things for different people. I think a personality match is number one. So you'll connect with different people than I do. And the, you know, newer loan officer is going to connect with different people than I do. The different agent's going to connect. It's just, it's different for different people. I'd say ideally, right, somebody that is doing business today at some level, and that you connect with and that you'll follow up with. I mean, the connection's one thing. I think the follow-up's equally important.
It is. And in fact, I think that's where it really, because like you said, know, like, and trust, right? When you said, hey guys, know, like, and trust you. Mm-hmm. Trust is earned. I believe anyways, trust is earned when you do what you say you're going to do.
Right.
To follow up being able to stay alert as to what you're hearing and all those kind of things. Guys, it's a matter of conversations. The other thing about that, and what I like about when you're talking about open houses, because a lot of people make excuses to their own minds about why they don't want to sit in an open house, right? First of all, talk about a 2-hour captive audience of a realtor that you could be working with. Most of those people that are working those open houses are still looking to even grow themselves. If anything, you can look at that as a great opportunity to be able to really gain somebody's trust. But being able to open up your ears and your heart and being able to hear what they have to say and where they're struggling and what they need help on, you become that person that can earn that trust. And you got to be able to help solve people's problems and have solutions for them. And that's what we become as professionals, right? So I love the fact that you're bringing all that together because, you know, as we're getting closer and closer to that 45-minute stretch that, you know, believe it or not, we're almost there. We're 32 minutes into this whole thing. But I wanted to ask you very specifically, one of the other biggest things that are happening right now in the industry is – well, I'm with a large company, so I'm almost dead in the water. I'm in a small company, and I'm almost dead in the water, right? Because, I mean, it's just, there's no consistency. People, it's like greener on the other side of the grass, on the other side of that fence. The greener grass is always on the other side of the fence. So this isn't to put you in any kind of position, but I want you, in your whole history, you've been with a large in the large groups, you've been with the smaller groups, you've been with independent groups, you've been all of the above. Brian, I got to be able to ask you, one frying pan to the next and things like that. What are some of the things that you're finding right now in the industry that that you would throw as almost a caution? It doesn't have to even be a caution as much as it is a tip. What would you be saying to people right now who just are not quite sure where they are in the business right now and who they're with?
Yeah, well, we could talk for 45 minutes just about that. And I, you know, back to the LinkedIn articles, I did write a LinkedIn article about that topic too, is things to look out for when searching for a new company. I think some of the biggest mistakes I see being made today is, and you just touched on it, is moving from the frying pan to the fire. Right? People are jumping from one company structure to another company structure, not considering the long-term view of the industry, where it is and where it's going. We're making decisions based on what the industry was like several years ago. For example, I believe that the mortgage company of today, the mortgage company of the future, is going to be more of a platform model rather than a big corporate structure. Big corporate structure means high expenses, big layers of management, big departments, big real estate expense. It's just an expensive way to operate. We end up with a lot of resources, which are great, but a lot of resources that are expensive, and we're not going to use most of them anyway. So I think the smart LOs are looking for a leaner, meaner platform that has the things you actually need and are going to use. So they've got a support structure built in, but they're leaner, meaner, can provide a better price to the client, allowing the loan officer to serve more people and not get caught in this battle over interest rate anymore. The consumers are smart. They need and want a good interest rate today. So it's being in a platform. The analogy I gave you earlier was Amazon. Amazon took over the world, right? It's because they're a platform. They don't buy or sell anything that I'm aware of. They're the platform that buyers and sellers plug into. I think the industry is there too.
That's really interesting because, you know, and I know you're speaking from the heart on that and being able to, I mean, you've got an audience that's going to be listening to this right now. That's going to be talking about, well, I'm part of a big bank, but you know, I'm a branch model. I'm just one of the branches. Can I take your information and still work within the bigger banks? Do I need to leave, or is that something that I can look at? The platform model is really something interesting. Could you focus on that at a branch level perspective instead of a big bank perspective? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's all about managing structure, managing costs at every level, right? So that's corporate, that's at the branch level, it's at the loan officer level. I was talking to a loan officer just a couple of weeks ago that I had him write down a list of all the software he was paying for. He was paying for 12 things and using five of them, like actively using five of them. So yes, we saved him a few hundred dollars a month just by canceling these little things. So you and I were talking about a piece of software that costs $49 a month. It makes a ton of sense, but if I'm not going to use it, and it's inexpensive, but if I'm not going to use it, it's money I could spend somewhere else.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
If you're not going to use it,
a dollar is expensive, right?
Right. Exactly. If you're not going to use it, it's just wasted money. And that's what it is. But yeah, it's because, I mean, the platform model for anybody that's out there in a bigger sense, it's how you manage your own branch even. I mean, if you really think about the Amazon model that you're talking about, you could be in a big bank and still be working at a branch level where your focus is that branch level, and then how you coach and teach your LOs is really up to you, making a difference that way. But from the overall perspective of large companies, big companies, small companies versus brokerage banks and the whole bit, the way that the market is now, Ryan, what do you see when you're talking to loan officers? What is the overall concerns that loan officers have right now? That I know for a fact, I recommended somebody to you, and you were trying to solve something that was very much a concern for her. But what are you finding to be some of the biggest things out there right now?
Yeah. So some of the biggest things are, the number one thing is business development, right? It's the first conversation that comes up generally. When the business was hotter, that was always a concern, but it's not at the top of the list. Now it's number one, two, and three. So it's business development. How are you going to help me grow? The other thing is pricing. Right. A close second is probably pricing. Clients are very savvy today. They know within a range what interest rates are in many cases before they even call us. So we've got to have a sharp price. And it's interesting to me, I do price comparisons in these conversations. Interesting to me just how many times the interest rates are so much higher at a competitor compared to ours. And it's because of cost structure. There are just so many, there are some companies out there that just need a higher margin to operate. And they'll say, well, okay, so here's our margin. Here's what we need. Here's our rate. But if you're competing on a deal, we'll just do a price exception and then you'll win the deal. Okay, that's great. But A, I may not get the second look if my rates are that much higher than the other one. And B, how is that fair to the clients at an aggregate, right? If there's 5 out of 10, they're going to shop, and the 5 that don't ask the question, that don't press, get the higher rate than the other 5 that do shop. How is that fair from a consumer standpoint? So I'd say number 2 is pricing.
Yeah. So business development, how do I grow, basically being lumped into one? and then pricing is the number one and two things. And by the way, I ask you that question because it's really for everybody that's listening to this right now. If you're in the managerial side of that, these are real deals that are happening in your world right now, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to listen to your loan officers. You got to listen to their concerns this way, because this is what's causing them, by the way, to go from the frying pan, if that's what you have, because you're not listening to them, onto the fire. Mm-hmm. They're jumping out. They don't want to jump out. Most people don't want to change, right? But yet, if they're not being listened to, they're going to jump. And that, and I believe in your role very specifically, those are the things that you look for. As mm-hmm. a loan officer, these are the kind of things that you need to be able to look at that's actually going to help you in your profession. You know, is somebody helping you develop your business and so on and so forth? But and is pricing really an issue? All of this, the business development, pricing, all of that is out the door. It shouldn't even be a concern if you're not doing the first thing that you, Brian, said earlier, which is you want to grow your business? Talk to more people. Because if you're not even willing to do that, quit thinking about companies. Quit thinking about, you know, where am I going to go? What are you going to deliver my way, Brian? You know, because by the time it's all said and done, you're still going to be sitting here saying, I still need you to call your database.
Yep. You know, it's funny you say that too, because that's a common conversation too. And I know, I'm sure you have this conversation with a lot of people too, but we all have this tendency to look for shiny objects.
Yes.
And there are plenty of shiny objects out there. And I think a lot of them, they're just like there are good mortgage companies, bad mortgage companies, good real estate companies, bad. There's good coaching companies and bad coaching companies. I think the shiny objects come from the bad coaching companies that are trying to create content so they can charge a price. Yes. It's clear to me when people are creating shiny objects to charge a price or charge a premium. It's back to basics. The basics always still work. If I were to go back into origination today, I would do exactly what I did in the early 2000s to rebuild my business. I would hit open houses. I'd talk to more people, build my database, go to events. The social media is a shiny object. It's necessary. We've got to have that platform there. We have to develop content, but I see very few people that get a notable amount of business from social media.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying directly from social media, right? Yeah. You might have somebody that reaches out through social media, but do they actually meet you because of it? Maybe, but I think in most cases, probably not.
Right. Right. And gosh, time is flying but what just a rich throb of stuff that you just brought out, Brian. I'd love to have you back on another time as well, especially as this next quarter comes rolling around. I do believe that some great things are about to happen, just even in the early part of 2024, by the way, especially when you compare it to 2023. But you gave us so many things, and I want to be able to just say goodbye to you from this particular podcast by being able to just say what it really comes down to. And you said those three words in perfect timing of this podcast, and it is back to basics.
Yeah.
It really is back to basics. Even the people who are telling me that they're great at social media, it still comes down to what? A conversation with somebody eventually.
Yep.
None of this is automated. AI is not going to automate this for you. You know, ChatGPT isn't going to write your words because you eventually still have to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And if you sound way different because you're dependent on all these other technological pieces, mm-hmm. which I get a lot of, by the way, I still think that if you're going to use ChatGPT, it's all good. AI's all good, but you got to review it, and it still has to be you,
right?
It still has to be you. So back to the basics is everything that you just said, Brian. I'm just going to I'm going to let you go, but can you just give me just a thing or two to just kind of walk away with everybody. What would be your biggest tip to a loan officer right now? Just give me two things that you'd want to leave us with.
So the two things would be, one is do the work. I mean, going back to my dad, dairy farmer, he works 7 days a week. We're in a season now where it takes 7 days a week. I'm personally working 7 days a week. I know you and I were exchanging some text on a Saturday.
Yes.
We were both in our office doing the work. Right. And number two was, don't be afraid to connect with people. I mean, don't be afraid to connect with people. Do some cold calls, go to some events, maybe even by yourself and just introduce yourself. So it's work a little harder and connect.
That's awesome. And Brian, our next time together, I really want to unfold that, because I know that as a coach, which I see you being, the whole idea of making the calls is a whole topic on its own. Because I'm a firm believer as well, mm-hmm. that you can take a cold call and make it warm before you ever make that call. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much that we can be talking about. And Brian, time is up. And I can't say enough about how much you've been able to share. And first of all, thank you for just being willing to share, because I know you're a coach as much as I am a coach. And like I said, though, when I opened up this whole thing, there's so much out there. You and I both benefit just by being able to network together. And you're absolutely right about working 7 days a week. I mean, when you're passionate about your work, you just work all the time. It's just all part of it, but you still have to get that balance. So, Brian, I can't say enough. Thank you so much. Thanks for making a difference. And I hope that everybody that listened, from the manager's side of things, I hope you guys yield to what you guys just heard today, right? And then from the loan officers here, there's things you should be looking for to help yourself. But the bottom line of the whole thing is you got to work. Mm-hmm. You got to work. You got to get back to the basics. And if you want to build your business more, you really should be talking to more people. So, yeah. Brian, I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye. Thanks so much again. And I'm sure we'll be talking real soon. And if you don't mind, I'm probably going to reach out to you again in a couple months to get you back in here to not only talk about what we just covered, but also onto the next level, the next quarter.
Absolutely. I'd love it. And thanks for your time, JA.
Absolutely. Take care.
You bet.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. So, wow. You know what? Sometimes we talk about spiritual, we talk about relational, we talk about physical, we talk about the different wellnesses, well-beings, and then philanthropical. Today was purely vocational, but honestly, there's so much more about this. You're not in the business for 25 years or more without having to take care of yourself physically and relationally, right? And definitely, you have reaped the benefits of the blessings of this business. And I hope that you've been able to share that. Again, not only from a financial sense, but from a teaching perspective. And that's really what Latreia Coaching is all about. We want to make sure that holistically that you are successful. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Brian was absolutely insightful and delivered some great nuggets. You know how to reach us if you need to ask questions about today's episode, please do so. If you want to get a hold of Brian, and you want to talk to Brian, let me know that. And I'll be more than happy to broker that connection between you guys. And I will tell you right now, he's just one of those people that if you reach out to him, he would give shirt off his back to help you out. So with that said, guys, hopefully you enjoyed the show. If you did, please follow us. Click the like button. Click the follow button so you don't ever miss another episode. This is a weekly podcast. And so we look forward to seeing you guys.